Good morning. As the debate heats up about a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage in Idaho, we will most likely hear the word sodomy and sodomite more frequently. Today I would like to talk about the real meaning of sodomy. This ugly word is derived from the Canaanite city of Sodom, whose destruction along with Gomorrah is related in Genesis 19. Most people assume that homosexual acts were the grounds for divine intervention, and that this is the reason that gay men have been branded as sodomites. Interestingly enough, Jesus does not interpret the story in this way. First, Jesus says nothing specific about the sin of homosexuality anywhere in the Gospels. Second, when Jesus instructs his disciples to preach in the towns of Israel, Jesus warns that those who do not receive them peacefully will be judged more harshly than the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus joins other ancient authorities in viewing the sins of the Sodomites as the abuse of strangers, neglecting the poor and the needy, and the stigmatizing of outsiders. For example, Ezekiel says that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah had pride, surfeit of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and the needy. The narrow sexual interpretation known today comes from an ancient minority report from thinkers such as Philo of Alexandria and Augustine of Hippo. The former condemned the Sodomites for forbidden forms of intercourse, and the latter for lewdness between males. Today's conservatives appear to follow Augustine's untenable position, struck down in the recent Supreme Court decision that only sexual acts between people of the same sex count as sodomy. The Texas law was particularly insidious because in 1973 the legislature legalized heterosexual anal and oral sex, even bestiality, but criminalized homosexuals who perform the same acts. In Genesis 19, the men of Sodom came to Lot's house and demand that the two visitors be handed over to them. The Sodomites' intentions were overtly sexual, but these men were no more homosexuals than are the bullies in our prisons who rape newcomers and weaker prisoners on a daily basis. Although sexual in nature, these attacks are essentially acts of aggression against the other, those who are weaker and those who are different. Prison rapists are carrying out an ancient patriarchal tradition where the dominant male has the right to penetrate anyone subordinate to him, women, lower men, boys, and slaves. A prominent expert on these matters states that in the ancient world it was the right of men to penetrate and their duty to lie on top, and that the raping of one's slaves was not only sanctioned by public opinion, but by some jurists as well. Needless to say, medieval Christians were compelled to declare that the woman's superior sexual position was also, incredibly enough, a form of sodomy. The point of these stories, however, goes beyond the destructive hierarchy of top males. The message for our time is that those who embrace different people different from themselves, such as Abraham and Lot, are blessed, while those who discriminate against them should be despised. I will let listeners apply this biblical doctrine to contemporary America and discover to which group they belong. The God of the Bible appears to have, as liberation theologians have said, a preferential option for the poor, the weak, the oppressed, and those who are different. The word sodomite should be reserved, if we should use the ugly word at all, for those who use sex to dominate, humiliate, and terrorize others. We should preserve and dignify the word homosexual for those people who love others of their own sex, and our liberal democracy should protect their right to do so with the same tenacity that we do with any other fundamental human right. This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, wishing you a good day.